The opinions and ideas of the guests of Spooky Things with Sarah and Debbie are not necessarily that of the host or Web Radio Network staff. You're listening to Spooky Things with Sarah and Debbie on the Web Radio Network. And now, Sarah and Debbie.
Hi, everybody. It's Debbie from Spooky Things. Things are going real well over here. Hoping things are going good with you guys. We have special guests on tonight, and we're really excited to be talking to them. And I'm using the word we because I know, you know, Sarah is not here with us tonight, and I know she's really upset about that. So I'm just going to use the word we all night because in my heart, Sarah's right here next to me. And I know if she could possibly have been here, she would have been here. So let's some prayers going out for Sarah that she feels better real soon. So let's go on. We have Michael and Destiny Fox with us. Hi, guys.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing good, doing good. So excited to have you on tonight. Really so excited. You know, Sarah wanted to know so much about y'all's group. We have heard the most wonderful things.
Oh, awesome. I'm glad it was wonderful things.
Yeah.
It has been, you know, of course, Lee Triana Brown thinks the world of you guys. And talking about Lee Triana, you guys have recently been on the show Repossessed with Lee Triana.
Yes, we were on episode 2, season 1, and it was quite the experience. We had known Lee before the show, but we had never met her in person. Several phone conversations. Michael actually knew her a little longer than me, but it was good to work with her, and it was good to be on the show with her. And Mo, Marika, it was amazing. We loved it.
Wow, what a great experience. And you guys were wonderful, by the way.
Thank you.
You were wonderful. You guys really captured the attention. And that's really interesting when you're watching a show and something captures your attention, you know, the people that are on it, for some reason, you watch, you know, you're not just like, okay, it's a show, you're watching it, but all of a sudden now you're captivated, you're watching it, you're interested in what's going on, and you guys did, you guys captured my attention, and you kept it.
Right. So. All the episodes were good, but all the feedback that we get was the ending of our story. People have said that, you know, they turned the TV off in tears because of the ending, happy ending, I might add. So yeah. It was really good for us to get some answers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree that the ending was, it was kind of like a bittersweet, you know, kind of an ending.
Yes.
Yeah. It was a bittersweet ending, but the wonderful part about it is that it was a story within the story, and it just made it all the more fast. Cause I find Lee's show is so different and it's just fascinating into itself. And the show itself keeps my attention because it's just got a fresh concept to it, which I like.
It is unique. It is
very unique, and of course Sarah and I love the name Repossessed. That is just the coolest name. We just think that is just. But you guys' episode that you did, it was just that storyline within the whole story, and I loved it. I thought it was great. It was just really
right. We'll be bringing the doll with us. The box is got some wear and tear on it, but when we're in Alabama in August, we're going to bring the doll that was in the box with us.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so people get to see her. We call her Levada.
Yeah.
That's cute. Does the name have a special meaning to you?
Well, no. I was sitting with a friend, and we were like, well, we need to name this doll. And, you know, the name Levada came to me. During the filming, Lee had mentioned that Levadian magic could have been used to put this curse together. So it was the oddest thing that type of magic used, and then the name Levada came to me. Levadian, yeah. Levada, you know, I don't know why. Maybe she was telling me her name. I don't know. But we call her Levada. It just came to me. So she'll always be Levada.
It sounds European for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it though? It sounds European. It's interesting. It's a beautiful name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know nobody by that name at all. So no. How I came up with that is just beyond me.
I don't. That had to have been given to you, because I've never known anybody named that before. It's beautifully unique. I like mm-hmm. it. And it'd be interesting. It'd be interesting to find out if that particular name has a meaning to it.
Right, I'll have to look it up and see.
It will be interesting. So, what I would like to know is a little bit about you guys' background, because you guys have got an amazing following. You really do. And I would like for, you know, our listeners to know, you know, about you guys' background and where you've been, what you've done. I know that's a broad thing to do, but how did you first get it started?
Well, when I met Michael was a paranormal investigator, and he had investigated for years. I'll let him tell his own story. But how I got started is like sort of our first kind of date that we had. He took me to a haunted cemetery. First date. But it was amazing. It was in Birmingham, Montgomery, Alabama. And in this cemetery, people still practice hoodoo and voodoo. And the cemetery was known for them to come in and practice. Some graves had been dug up, bones removed, rituals held there. And I noticed in the tree line, shadow people just darting in and out of the tree line. And I was so fascinated. I had paranormal experiences prior to this, but I was like, yes, I'm going to marry this man. But we have been Fox Paranormal. A lot of people call us Fox Family Paranormal because that was the original name we went by. And we call it Fox Family Paranormal because it started out a family team. From there, it went on, and we brought in people who were not related to us, but they're family. Mm-hmm. If you're a member of our team, you're family. You're treated like family. We're a close team. It's rare we bring anybody new in because of the connection that we have with everybody. And pretty much when you come to the team, you stay. We don't make hasty decisions bringing people on the team. So we shortened it up to Fox Paranormal. It was just easier, but people talk about it. It's still Fox Family Paranormal. We are a family-oriented team. And we've actually gotten cases because of the family, because families feel at ease. They've told us, when I saw Fox Family Paranormal, I was like, family, that's the kind of team we need. And so we've had several clients tell us that they chose to call us because of our name. But Michael's background goes back a lot longer than mine in paranormal.
Yeah, about 35 years.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I started out working with a team out of Los Angeles, California.
Oh, okay. And,
I opened up a chapter of that same group in the Midwest and worked it for a number of years. And then I was asked to move to Montgomery. There was a team there, and they needed a director for their team. And some somebody to teach all their team members more about the technical side of paranormal investigating. And they asked me if I would be willing to move to Montgomery. And I just, well, you know, new place. So I up and moved there and started working with these guys for a while. And then when Dusty and I got together, I moved to Georgia and I've been here ever since.
You're not going anywhere.
No, I love Georgia.
Yeah, I live close to Georgia. I live in Marianna. So I'm like, are you guys in the southern part or the more the middle?
We're in West Central, sort of.
West Central. Oh, okay.
Yeah, like we live to I-20. And I-20, we can be in Alabama in like 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We're very close to Alabama state line.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I live kind of closer to like Dothan.
Mm-hmm.
I live just south of Dothan. So,
are you in Florida?
I am. Yeah, Marianna, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I think we go through there, go close to there. I have a lot of family that lives in Panama City. So okay. I see that as a sign when we're going in somewhere. I don't know if we go through it or I see a sign saying Marianna in this direction or something. I remember seeing it on a sign though.
Well, if you're coming down 231, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah. The way we come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you go right by Marianna going down 231. So we're not all that far away.
No.
Not really. So that's nice to know. Now, you guys did a investigation not all that long ago at the Pauley Jail.
Yes.
We did. We had an event with Jeremy Leonard, the Cajun demonologist. Several of my team members were in attendance, and we met some new friends. It was amazing. We had a great investigation there. Matter of fact, we're going to be back there not this coming Friday, but the next Friday. Two or three of our team members. We have a couple of guests coming to investigate with us, and it's just one night investigation, and we're looking so forward to it.
You know, I've never been to the Pauley Jail, but we were going to go one of the nights, and something happened, and we weren't able to make it. But we were really looking forward to coming up there and meeting you guys and everything. And we told Jeremy, yeah, we're going to be there, and at the last minute. We had to pull out. We were just like so disappointed because we heard it was great. Did you guys have any like?
It was yeah. A blast. Both nights.
Yes, both nights were amazing.
Well, tell me about some of the stuff that happened there.
I kept picking up on a female there, and I really just couldn't focus on it because we had so many guests. We did the Estes method a couple of times. I think a couple of our team members were touched, had personal experience. One of our team members got a picture of what seems to be an apparition through one of the windows. Jeremy also saw a spirit of a man mm-hmm. run around beside the building while we were there. It's just so many numerous things, too much to mention, just... It was active
all night long, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was very good.
Yes.
Of course, we've investigated Jeremy Leonard many times and enjoyed it. And I think, you know, everybody would enjoy getting to meet us and getting to meet him. And and we got to work with Stan and Teresa. And
that's always fun.
That's always fun.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that myself. So, you know, I mean, we're just, what's wonderful is that we're just branching off and we're meeting these wonderful people like you guys. And really excited about it because for the longest time, we had our team and we did what we needed to do. You know, we go to the places that we needed to, but we didn't really co-join. And we always talk about it's like, we really want to get other perspectives. We know what our perspective is, but I really want to get the perspective of somebody else who's been doing this for a long time. And go out of the box with what we're doing. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And, yeah. And I told Sarah, and I said, you know, and we both agreed to it. It's like, whenever we go into a place, we pretty much know where we're coming from. I want to know what somebody else is seeing, what somebody else is hearing. I want to get a perspective of it, because that's so valuable in what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Learning from each other.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot along the way. Other teams, investigating with other teams, seeing how they do it compared to how we investigate, and them the same with us. Sharing ideas, theories. It's amazing. We love meeting new people in the paranormal field. We love working with other people.
Well, we definitely have a couple of locations we would love for you guys to come down and check out. I mean, I think that you'd really enjoy these two locations that we've got. And they're like,
oh, yeah.
You know, these are like our two special places. In the one place we can go into, and the little girls that are in there actually know Sarah and I by name. When we come walking in, they'll say, hi, Sarah, hi, Debbie, immediately. And oh, it's, wow. It's just, yeah, it's the cutest thing. It really is. And one of my favorite stories is one of the last times that we were there. We came walking in the door, and they were like, hi. And they were all excited. And I said, girls, it's so good to see you. Where are you at? Where are you at right now? And they go, room 5. I looked at Sarah and I went, oh, no. That's my room.
Room 5.
You're not going in room 5. And they just, room 5. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to get any sleep at all tonight. But they're just cute as they can be. They really are. And whenever I'm going anywhere, one of the little girls is always right there by my side. She has to be right there at all times. She's just so cute. So I think that you guys would get you'd really have a good time there. So,
sounds like we would.
Yeah, you really would. Who's that?
This is Addie. Addie thinks she's human. Wherever mommy and daddy is, she has to be too.
Oh my gosh, she's beautiful.
Thank you.
She is really, really pretty. I've got
a puppy when we filmed Repossessed, just a little bitty thing. Lee and Marika and Mo got to meet her. She was such a tiny little thing then.
She was tiny then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, how old is she now?
January or February, she was a year.
Wow, she is big.
Yeah.
Girl.
She's a big girl.
Oh my gosh, she's absolutely gorgeous.
She's a big baby.
Yeah. I've got he's 85-pound pit bull.
Mm.
And it's funny because I tell everybody, don't tell him he's a pit bull. I've never told him that. He thinks he's a poodle. I think he would be aghast if he found out that he was a pit bull, because that would surely not be him. But everybody who sees him just says, oh my god, that dog is so sweet. Yeah, just don't ever tell him he's a pit bull, because
we have a team member that she absolutely loves, Big Ronnie. If he comes up, he is just all laid up on his shoulder, just giving him all kind of love. He can't get in the house her. She loves her some Big Ronnie.
Yeah, animals are great. I don't know if Stan told you that we have a situation with a little kitten over here right now. And my son and I were going from one client, one of the houses from a client to, so we were in the middle of two investigations at the time. Mm-hmm. And from a client. And when we were on our way to the second house, we saw something in the road, and it was a kitten. And we're like, oh my goodness. So it pouring down rain. I mean, if the kitten didn't get hit by a car that way, it would have drowned from the rain. I mean, it was just gushing rain. And I leaned down and I went to go pick it up, and I noticed that it's missing its front leg.
Aww.
God. So she's here with us now. And we call her Uno because my son says she's only got one good leg to stand on up in the front. So we call her Uno. And yeah, she's real sweet though. So we're trying to get her adjusted into the family, but Tyrion keeps a real close eye on her. He just watches her. Yeah, he knows she's a baby and he knows that she's hurt. So he's just real gentle around her. And you know, animals are just so wonderful. They really they are. They're so wonderful. You can learn so much from these animals. You know, talking about that, animals, have you ever taken a dog on an investigation with you?
We haven't, but we've thought about it. Addie seems to be very sensitive. We live on our property. We have a couple of little things happen here and there, paranormal related, and she seems to be more alert to it before we hear it. Her little ears will go up and she'll look in a corner and then we'll start hearing something in that direction. Does it happen often? But when it does, she's usually the first one to notice it. I think all animals are real sensitive.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. My horses, I know, would be very sensitive. You know, of course, they're acutely aware of what goes on around them at the all times, because when it comes to, you know, predators and prey, they're the prey. But right. They're very acutely aware of everything. And my horses could sense something a mile away. They would know about it long before I ever even thought about it. So, yeah, it used to be very, very interesting to me to see the horses' reactions on things.
Mm-hmm.
But do you guys, when you guys go out, you guys go out regularly to a lot of these, and you guys go out with a full team when you go?
We don't. We actually have 7 or 8 team members. Not everybody can go each time, and I prefer it to be small. So we may have a different team of people each time we go. I like to go with 3 or 4 people, unless it's a huge residence, then, you know, we have taken the whole team before. I found that smaller teams, you tend to get more evidence.
Yes.
On investigation, rather than have 10 or 12 people running around, and which we've done that before. We've tried taking 10 to 12 people on one single investigation. Unless it's something that we book just for our pleasure, it's too many. It'll interfere. And the fewer people that you have, then I think the better evidence that you'll get.
Yeah, we agree. We agree. Whenever we go out on an investigation, we don't, our limit is usually 6. We don't like taking more than 6 people. If between me and Sarah, we might have a couple more people, 3 tops when we go, for the same for the same reasons that, you know, we just find that the less the better.
It's easier for us with the small. It's like Destiny said, we get I think we get better quality evidence.
Yeah. It just seems like when you've got a lot of people, it's so active. You just got so much activity going on with the people that it distracts away from what you're there for.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes when you do go into an actively haunted location and you got too many people, the spirits that are there may not be as willing to show themselves or make themselves known because there's so many people there.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what we've experienced as well. Sarah and I have noticed that, like, in the one hotel that we go into, just me and Sarah there, then we get the little girls, we get mm-hmm. the mother, and we get a lot of these really, really cool things going on. But if we've got a lot of people there, it's like, shh, it gets quiet. And you know, and then we're like, no, really. I mean, there's a lot of activity going on here. You wouldn't know it right now, but there's really usually a lot of activity. And I think it's just, I think the word that I use for them is intimidation. It's like they feel that, well, if you could put feelings on it, you can't really put a feeling on it, but they just ought to, it's like a sense of security or safety, but they won't show themselves at all. It's interesting.
I think they get more comfortable with the investigator with the smaller number. They're able to connect easier. And once they get to know you and they get comfortable with you, our experience is you get a lot more activity.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then if you take a large number, then you can't take them all in one room at the same time.
Right.
So say me and Michael and two team members, we go into the basement of a home. We ask all the questions that we want answers to for the client, for ourselves. And then, okay, well, it's time for another group of people. They go back in the basement. They ask the same questions we just asked. And the spirit's probably thinking, I just told the guys before you. I'm not going to tell you again, maybe.
Right. I remember one experience that I had was that, and I found this interesting. I think you guys are going to find this interesting too. It was the morning after an investigation. It was a pretty active investigation too. And I was up in the shower, and one of the spirits came into the shower with me. And he was right outside, you know, of the, and I mean, I could just feel him right there. And I'm like, what do you want? And he made a mention of something that I had said the night before. And he said, we don't only come out at night. And I was like, and you came into my shower to tell me that? No, get out. I was hot. I was so mad at that. I went downstairs and I told, or I went over to Sarah and I knocked on her door and I said, we're going downstairs. And I told her what happened. I said, he came into the shower with me. No. And we went downstairs and we actually got that on film. Me and him had it out. So don't you ever come and shower on me or anybody else for that matter. But and it was just very interesting how he repeated back something that I had said the night before. And what I had said the night before is it was interesting how the activity came on more during the evening hours than it did during the daytime hours. And I think he made it really clear to me that he didn't want me to think that or to get comfortable in the fact that they wouldn't come out in the daytime. So I think he deliberately caught me at one of my most vulnerable moments just to let me know I can be anywhere. I can be anywhere anytime. And that really, it was an uncomfortable feeling. It really was. It was like, so right. He's so right. You just can't take anything for granted in a place like that. They'll humble you up quick.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
They
they
will.
will. Yeah. So, have you guys, what would be the one time, well, not even one, what would be the moments that you found to be the most frightening when you guys were investigating?
There was a time we were investigating here in our hometown, and it was close to where a young girl had been murdered by one of her neighbors. And we go into the investigation thinking that the haunting on this property was related to that, which it was not, that we found out later. But our line of questioning was geared toward were you murdered here? You know, your standard questions for that area. Come to find out, the haunting was not related to anything that happened on the property, but it turned out to be very demonic. We went to this residence three times when we arrived at the residence. I remember meeting with a client. We go in, and right off the bat, we're getting paranormal activity. I mean, the K2 spiking, hearing voices, just different things going on. We go back for the investigation maybe 3 or 4 days later. Well, when we left there, I remember the client was sitting on a doorstep. It's like, you know how when you're leaving a kid behind and they can't go to the store with you and they want to go back? She sat there on those steps and watched us until we got out of sight crying. She did not want us to leave. The night of the investigation, I remember getting sick. As I would be on the property close to the home, and I became very nauseous, headache. I stepped across across the street to go throw up. And when I got to the street, I felt better. Just all of a sudden, when I would walk back to the property, I began to get sick again. We did the investigation. Things happened. A flashlight was snatched out of my hand, and it was like square shape, but it rolled across the floor. We go back for the house cleansing. This is where things went crazy. A teddy bear was up on the mantle, and its head actually turned like it was looking at me. Michael had the spirit box on, and I don't recommend doing this, but if you're going to do a house cleansing, I wouldn't have your spirit box on. And we learned this the hard way. As I was praying through the house and doing my cleansing ritual, the demon was actually talking back to me.
Oh boy.
Things like, I cast you out. I'm not going anywhere. I mean, full conversation.
It was coming across the spirit box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I said, I'm talking to the father. He said, well, I'll tell my father. I said, tell your father. And he said, I just did. So I realized real quick, we've got to turn that off, because I could not help rid the property of this if I was carrying on a conversation with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a few years ago. We've learned a lot since then, thankfully. And he turned that off and we continued, but it was, I've never had a teddy bear turn its head, and it was like it was looking dead at me. I mean, I know it's got the little black eyes. You can't tell if it's looking at you, but I promise you, this was looking at me. The client, I had a team member grab it, and they threw it outside. Well, when the homeowner found out, you know, what had happened, he said, oh, no, I've never felt good around this teddy bear anyway. So they went outside, put lighter fluid on it, and they were going to burn it up. The teddy bear never burned,
mm-hmm.
never did. The next day they went and put charcoal lighter fluid on it to burn it. It would not burn. I think they even used gasoline trying to burn it. It would blaze a little bit, and then the fire would go out, and it would be just almost unharmed. A little scorching of the little fur on it. But I guess that was the most unsettling case in the very beginning that we had.
Yeah, that is unsettling. But what did they ever end up doing with it?
I think they cut it up and threw it in the trash. But they were determined to get rid of it. I think it ended up in little pieces in a black trash bag and taken to the county dump.
Probably a lot of those in the county dump.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Have you ever done anything involving water? Like on a boat?
Oh, we haven't. But we've kicked the idea of investigating alongside Lake Lanier here in Georgia. The lake is pretty haunted. It's actually a flooded town underneath. Michael will probably tell you more about the story than I can. There's they say that a lot of people drowned out there because maybe the spirits of some people who maybe didn't make it out possibly are pulling them under. I don't know. I've been to Lake Lanier, but never thinking about the paranormal side of it. There's a movie that's coming out called Lake Lanier that I'm looking forward to watching. I think it's a documentary about the town. If the underwater town, there's also a cemetery. They were supposed to remove all the graves, but witnesses say that the graves were never removed. They were never moved to another spot. I think the government actually flooded it to make the lake. It is a man-made lake. So if you Google Lake Lanier in Georgia, there's lots of haunted tales about Lake Lanier. But as far as investigating on water, no, but I want to.
Yeah, that question was posed to me one time, and I had never thought about it. You know, the importance of water being around. And everything that I had been told is that you get such fabulous results because of the connection with the water of where you are. And I thought, wow, you know what? I've not ever done an investigation on the water, on a boat, or on a house on the water right there. But now I'm like really fascinated with it. And I thought I would really like to go and see what we can pick up with something like that. Because it's a completely different form of investigation than what you normally do in a house. That's not around something so conductive like that. So.
Well, yeah, water creates energy.
Yeah.
It'll support energy. And we do know over the years that spirits need that energy of some type to be able to function and communicate.
Right.
Yeah, I could see, you know, the importance of water and doing an investigation on water, that it might be pretty active.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Destiny, when you were talking about what you guys had experienced with, you know, the teddy bear and everything, and that one investigation, we had done something when you were talking about doing the blessing, you have the spirit box on. We came across something similar to that. It was at a hospital that we were investigating, and it had identified itself as to something I found hard to believe. Well, we know that they lie anyway, but I found it really difficult to believe that this, what we were encountering, was what it claimed that it was. And I was like, I don't know. And then one of the girls that was with us asked us, exactly what is it that you want? And its answer was blood. Blood. And we just kind of looked at each other, and it was like, well, that's not going to happen, you know. And it just seemed like it got angrier and angrier and angrier that we were denying it what it wanted. And but all of that was, you know, like you say, it was coming through the spirit box. And finally, it just went on a full attack. And it came down these stairs. It rushed down and it hit into Sarah, literally just hit into Sarah. Sarah flew back and she hit into me. I flew back and I hit into her husband. And we all three landed at the bottom of the stairs. That's how hard that thing hit us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's probably one of the biggest scares that we have had, because it not only attacked, it attacked all of us on the stairs, to where we all went flying off the stairs at the same time. So I definitely can see what you're saying, that the distraction with those spirit boxes is like, if you're from what we have found, we need to have our complete concentration, not on what they're doing,
right,
what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that is, it seems like a main thing that they do is try to take that distraction and put it right as a barrier between you and them to keep you from doing to them what you're there to do.
Right, breaking your concentration. And I'm pretty sure that's what it was doing.
And that's frightening. That is frightening. Because I mean, it's not meaning any goodwill towards you when they're doing that.
Definitely not.
No.
Yeah, we've had things like iron pipes thrown at us. That was always lovely. We've had pipes get so cold during the night, and this was in the middle of summer. And we had pipes get so cold that they froze when we walked in
Wow.
there. Yeah. And it was a really hot, it was in the middle of summertime. And there was no reason for that pipe to be frozen. And then nearer towards the end of the night, when we didn't go in there that much, the pipe all of a sudden wasn't so cold any it wasn't frozen anymore. It was cool, but it wasn't
Interesting.
frozen. Yeah, that was something that was really interesting.
Well, that would take a lot of energy for a spirit to do that.
It takes a lot of energy.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We were astonished that it was even happening. I mean, to us, like to freeze a pipe, an open exposed pipe, something like that. It was like, even if you were trying to freeze that pipe, it would be almost impossible to freeze that pipe. I mean, how on earth could a person just do something like that? Just on that one pipe. Not the other pipes, this one pipe right here. Everything else was operating correctly, but just this one pipe right here. It was surreal. Like, possible. But yet we're looking at it, we're feeling it, we're touching it. This is what's happening with this thing. So, I mean, it's the most bizarre thing that we could have ever experienced. So, but we knew that you guys had seen a lot of things, and you guys have done so much. You really have. And we've just been fascinated by some of the things that you guys have experienced. And we knew that you guys would be a wealth of information about your experiences. Have you
We've
guys
done
ever?
a lot of overnight investigations on certain areas.
Ooh.
We've done a funeral home where we stayed 2 nights, camped out in the funeral home.
How did that go?
That was interesting.
It
Why?
was. We actually caught a shadow person. We've got that video on our page. A lot of people were saying, well, it's somebody walking behind the curtain, but there was a brick wall behind the curtain. Nobody was behind the
Yeah,
curtain.
there was no room for anybody to walk behind the curtain.
Yeah. The last night we were there, we had actually investigated two other places that were right in the area. It was kind of bam, bam, then go back to the funeral home. The funeral home has been sold since then, and it's been remodeled to become a funeral home again. And it was located in Kosciuszko, Mississippi. I think we've been there three times.
Yeah, we've been
Yeah.
back 3 times now.
But we'll never get to go back again. But yeah, after investigating those two other places and going back, I think we brought something dark back with us. Michael and I we take air mattresses along. It's like we're at home and we spend the night in a location. The room that we slept in at the funeral home was the old music room where people stand and sing their songs, funeral songs. And right in front of us was a coffin that they had in the chapel. And the last night we were there, the last time we were there, I remember it got so dark in there. Each night we had been able to see the coffin. It was a light blue, and when the light would hit it would just shine on the end. This particular night, it did not shine. It was dark. We couldn't even see the coffin from our room. Same lighting, same lights on each night, nothing different. In the chapel, we were at the front, looking for the back, we could see a shadow person dancing around at the back door. It was so dark that we could not see the IR lights on our night vision cameras in the back of the church, in the back of the chapel.
No, we actually set Foxy up in the on the casket, and she started going off while we were.
Yeah, we have a REM pod that she's made out of a fox that a friend made for us, and this REM pod was constantly going off just all night long. And this is one of those nights where nothing usually phases Michael, but this is one night he slept with one eye open. Mm-hmm. I slept like a baby. But I mean, it was cause to be for alarm, because even though nothing had ever been reported negative in the funeral home, ever recorded negative, I feel like one of those other locations, we probably picked up something very negative and took there. But asking after we left, that has not been experienced by anybody else. So I can't explain why it would happen that one night and never happen again.
Yeah. Yeah, it is odd how it seems to be a one-time occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it? It's odd. Now,
yeah.
One hotel that we frequent, we've been doing an ongoing investigation at this hotel for 7 years.
Mm.
Yeah, so we have a huge background on this particular hotel. We have actually captured two portals on film at this hotel.
Oh, wow.
And yeah,
is it vacant or is it operating?
Oh, it's operating. It's operating. And we not only caught the portal in it, we caught things coming in and out of the portal. And we've not heard anybody who's caught things like that before. But what we are finding out is that this portal, we believe, transforms the hotel from time to time into what it was, into what they create out of it. Mm-hmm. So these things coming in and out of it are very transient. They come and they go. We don't know who or what they are, and neither do they with us. We're unfamiliar with each other. When that thing happens, our usual friends are nowhere to be found. We cannot connect with them. They're in a secure location that they've made for themselves. They cannot be found. But these transients are coming and going. And it's interesting.
I call them travelers.
Travelers. Well, that's a good name. That's exactly what they were. Sarah put it perfectly when she said it's like a train stations when they depart and they, they're coming and they're going. And they're going through that portal. And so when you were saying that it's never been caught since then, or it could very well have been just a very transient kind of a entity that comes and goes from there.
Mm-hmm.
Happened to be there on that one particular night for some reason. But we have noticed really bizarre things that happen during those times that we're there, of things that we pick up that we normally don't pick up at all. As soon as you walk in the hotel, you can tell. Are we going to have our friends here, or are we going to be dealing with things we've never dealt with before? Very rarely do we deal with them both. It's either one or it's the other.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but that's interesting. Now, we've got 7 years wrapped up in here, so we're pretty familiar with who we're talking to in there. At least we think we do. You're never sure. You're never exactly sure. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting when you said that it got darker, as dark can be, but nobody had experienced that before.
And not since.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been something very transient there, but it didn't sound good. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had any experiences with animal spirits?
Yes. I had a cat get hit by a car. And this cat at nighttime would jump up at the foot of my bed. It would walk up beside the bed. And the way I would sleep, it would curl up in my arms. And I would let it lay there for a while. And then I would have to make him move so I could breathe without all that fur in my face. A few nights after that cat passed away, I actually had jump at the foot of my bed and start its little glide up the side of the bed. And I'm laying there thinking, if that thing curls up in my arms, I am so out of here. But it didn't. It made it halfway up the bed, and then it stopped.
Yeah.
Like it was gone. And I really believe that was my cat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I've caught glimpses of a cat-like figure in our hall here. But I'm the old cat lady, so I've had several cats. So there's probably 50 ghost cats running around here somewhere.
You want a three-legged cat?
Oh, I believe it or not, we live sort of out in the country. And my house, for some reason, seems to be the dumping ground for cats. I don't know if it's because people ride by and they say, oh, they have cats outside. You know, it's like I'll look outside and there's a new cat.
Yeah.
Just here recently, there's a little spotted one out there and it's more lighter color. And I don't know where it came from, but there's probably about 20 cats that roam my property here. And they're well fed. They're all fat. I take care of them. I go through a lot of cat food a week, but they're all fed and blessed here. So my house is the dumping ground for cats.
Yeah, we experience that here a lot too. Little Uno, we figured it out today, you know, that she's feral. So she was dumped. She was dumped and got a bad end of the deal for sure. But yeah, we're gonna give her the best shot that she possibly can, you know, work with her as much as we can. We can't really let her back outside because she's only got the three legs.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think she can take care of herself outside at all. So she's gonna have to get used to just being an inside cat, period. So this is gonna be an interesting journey with Uno, we can tell.
Yeah, she was sent to you.
Yeah, yeah. It just seems just the way that it happened. It was
meant to be.
Meant to be. Yeah, it was. So you know, she's part of our household now, and that's just the way it's gonna be.
Okay.
But I've really enjoyed talking with you guys. I think you guys are just fabulous. And I so regret that Sarah couldn't be here because I know she had so many questions that she wanted to ask of you guys.
But well, we can do it sometime.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because I would love it if you guys would come back when Sarah's here, because I know that she's got a lot of questions for you guys and wanted to, you know, talk to you about a few things. But we're going to be seeing you guys up at the Paracomic-Con.
Yes, and we're excited about that. It was awesome last year. And it promises to be even bigger and better this year. Mm-hmm. And we're so excited.
Yeah, we're excited about it too. So, well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're so welcome. It's such a pleasure to talk to you and meet you.
Oh, you guys too. And I'm excited. We'll be seeing each other soon in August. That's August the 19th and the 20th. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thrilled to be meeting you guys up there. And, but hopefully we can get you guys back on, you know, when Sarah's here.
I would love that.
Oh, we would love that too. Well, thank you so much for coming
on. You're
welcome. And we'll be seeing you soon.
Okay. Have a good night.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Coming soon. Deep South Paroc Comic-Con 2023.
Check out this amazing event that will have you laughing and screaming all at the same time.
This event has it all. From some cast members from The Walking Dead, workshops to help with psychic abilities, an oddities room, and even more. Not to mention the yummy food and amazing guest speakers. Don't miss out on this amazing paranormal experience. Get your tickets now as spaces are limited.
Don't forget the kiddos. It's a family-friendly event.
Deep South Para Comic-Con in Ozark, Alabama, August 19th and 20th, 2023. Visit www.deepsouthparacomiccon.com to get your tickets today.